I do want to share a few things with you. This last week on Facebook, one of the pastor's wives published a story that just happened recently. Her husband was having a series of meetings, and she was in charge of the prayer group. A lot of her people were elderly people who couldn't come to the meetings. So they would pray at their house, and she would pray at the church while the meetings were going on in the church. Now, she was hoping that some of the church members would also come to these meetings. Friday night was the first meeting. Nobody showed up. She was alone. She was a little bit discouraged. Second night, nobody shows up, so she's praying alone, and she's discouraged. She puts on a piece of music where somebody sings the Lord's Prayer, and she has her eyes closed. And as Melanie is praying in her heart, as this music is being played, she's really kind of discouraged, struggling. And as she finishes, she opens her eyes. Now, this is in her own words. The room was full of angels. I started crying as I looked around the room in amazement. The angels were tall, as tall as the ceiling, with broad shoulders. They stood shoulder to shoulder with their backs to the wall around the edges of the room. I felt tiny compared to them. They had wings and wore flowing robe-like clothes. I was drawn to their faces. They looked like men, very handsome. Their eyes were so kind, and they smiled gently, comforting smiles. Their facial features were defined, and they had a warrior-like atmosphere of boldness about them. Their dark hair flowed down to their shoulders, and they looked almost iridescent. While I couldn't see through them, I almost could. Their form shone with a yellow-white color. I was only able to see them for 4 or 5 seconds, and then they were gone. But I couldn't stop crying for the rest of the evening. If only that veil that separates us from God and his angels could be taken away from us. Sometimes we just have such a dim comprehension of God's love, such a distorted picture of God's goodness and his love. If only God could somehow take that veil away so that we could really understand who God is. Well, the reality is that in the life of Jesus, God has taken that veil away. God reveals himself in very concrete ways through many, many stories about how much he loves us. And I just want to share with you just a few lessons from one story. What's interesting is that I happened to choose the same story my son chose without actually talking to him. So we chose the same story, which I think is providential. And I just want to draw to you a few lessons from this. This is found in Matthew chapter 14. And it's a story of Jesus walking on the sea. What is very interesting about this story is that before this story, Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And there were more than 5,000 there because that was just the men. And the people were so amazed at what Jesus had done for them that they wanted to make him king. And you read about that in John chapter 6, where that detail is given. It's not given in Mark or Matthew, but it's given in John. So think about this for a second. The people's needs were met physically. They wanted Jesus to be their king because they believed that he could somehow create this paradise. He would fight their enemies. He would help them with every need they had. They would be without any sorrow, without any pain. Life would be perfect. They wanted Jesus as their king. And the disciples somehow get caught up in this enthusiasm. But at that moment, Jesus motions the people to leave. He gets his disciples to leave. And he basically ends this whole encounter. There's a great lesson here. God's kingdom on this earth is not the kingdom that these people wanted to set up. A kingdom where all their needs would be met in an instant whenever they asked for it. A kingdom where they could have whatever they wanted without faith, without trusting in God, without relying upon him. No, this was not the best for mankind. And so Jesus leaves. And what Jesus does in the story of the walking on water and the boat on the water is to really illustrate for us what his kingdom is really like in this world. What's interesting, if you go back to the Old Testament, the prophets would often do signs to illustrate who God was and what he was about to do. For example, Jeremiah one time was told by God to take a large vase and to gather all the people, all the leaders of Israel, and then to break that vase, crush it. And that was to illustrate what God was about to do to the nation. Then he was told to take his sash that he wrapped around him, something that he really valued and was precious to him, and he was to put it in a hole far away by the Euphrates River. And then he went back, and then he came back sometime later, and he got that sash, and it was ruined. Again, that was to illustrate something powerful. Now, this gives us some insight. Jesus does a lot of things in his ministry that may seem strange or odd, but they have a message in them. And so as we look at the story of Jesus of walking on water, we need to think, what is Jesus communicating? And there's just a few lessons that I want to draw from this story. The first thing that happens in the story is that Jesus sends the disciples to the other side ahead of him. Verse 22. He made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. The lesson that I think we can learn from this is that Jesus has given our lives purpose and meaning. He has sent us on a journey with a destination. Our lives have meaning because there is a destination to our lives, and that is heaven. We are not left to wander upon this planet, going from place to place, without there being any meaning. God has sent us on a journey. Life is a journey. But he doesn't want us to set our roots down any one place or in any one situation. But he wants us to continue on that journey because our home is not here. Our home is on the other side. Our home is in heaven. He has created us for a better world than this world. And he doesn't want us to put our roots down in this world. The second lesson we learn in the next text, it says that when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when the evening came, he was alone there. Now just imagine this for a second. Jesus is standing on a mountain, and he's overlooking the Lake of Galilee. He sees the boat below him. He sees the waves. He sees the storm coming. He sees everything. That's how Jesus is. He's watching us. He sees us. He knows everything about us. He knows our past. He knows our future. He knows our present. And what is Jesus doing? He's praying for us. He's pleading his own blood on our behalf and asking and requesting that the resources of heaven be used for our success. That is what Jesus is doing on our behalf. And he knows what we're going through. The third lesson that I learned here is from verse 24. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Jesus does not shield us from the storms of life. He does not take away the difficulties and the traumas and the challenges that you and I face. He's watching over us. He cares for us. He's praying that the resource of heaven would be used on our behalf, but he does not prevent us from going through difficulties. Because you see, these difficulties are our school. It is where we learn to trust and to obey God. And this life is a school. This journey that we're on is a lesson book, because before we can reach the eternal home that God has prepared for us, we need to be prepared. We need to learn certain lessons. And so God allows us to go through the storms of life to prepare us to live with him forever. But the story goes on and tells us that the disciples were struggling. They were struggling big time. The wind was coming right towards them. They couldn't move forward. They couldn't go back. They were stuck there, and the water was filling the boat. But Jesus comes walking on the water. And what does he do? Well, they're afraid because they think he's a ghost. And he says, no, be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. You know, when we are going through these difficulties, we can find our security and our peace and our comfort in Jesus. In Jesus, we don't have to fear. Jesus fills us with peace and strength in our life to deal with these very difficult and impossible situations that we get into. Why do we stay so far from Jesus when he can calm those inner storms in our lives? The next thing that happens is that Peter is just so amazed by Jesus walking on the water that he asks Jesus if he can come out to him. And Jesus says, come. And so Peter takes that first step, and the water holds him up, and he takes the second step, and there he is with no solid surface under him, doing something which was impossible for him to do, doing the very thing that Jesus was doing. But he could only do this as he looked at Jesus, as he put his faith and trust in Jesus. Now, what is the lesson that Jesus was trying to teach here? He was trying to teach a very important lesson. You see, in the Old Testament, walking was used as a metaphor for obeying God. In fact, if you go to the book of Deuteronomy, we're continually told to walk in obedience to God. Jesus was trying to teach him that you can obey me only if you have your eyes upon me and if your faith is towards me. That's the only way of obeying God. Obedience to God is impossible in our own strength. That's why we need a Savior. That's why we need faith to look at our Savior and to receive the Holy Spirit. You know, we come into situations in our life where obedience to God could mean death. It could mean the loss of something. And unless we have a faith relationship to God, we are not going to obey Him. We're going to take the easy route. I think of the story that happened during World War II when a family was confronted with this almost impossible situation. They had invited a young Jewish boy into their home because the Gestapo was on his trail. They take the boy into their home to protect this boy. But one day the Gestapo comes to their house and says, "We know that you have this boy. Give him up." Now at that very moment, she had a choice to make. Do I lie to the Gestapo in order to protect this boy? Do I tell the truth and then surely this boy will be taken? God, what do I do? And she prayed this in that moment. And God showed her that she should not lie, but she should not tell the truth either. She should say nothing. And so she said nothing, and she invited the soldiers into her house, and the soldiers searched the whole house, but they couldn't find the boy because God was protecting him from their eyesight, and they couldn't see him. God helped her to obey him, because to lie would be to disobey God. But God helped her at that moment, and she was able to walk on water. The upward power of God's grace is stronger than the downward force of sin. And that is what that lesson is all about. Finally, what happens is that he takes his eyes off of Jesus. And at that very moment, he sinks into the water. And he's drowning. But he cries out to Jesus. And at that very moment, Jesus helps him. The lesson here is that when we are struggling with sin and flailing, we can just cry out to God. And God will answer that prayer momentarily. He may not take the storm away from our lives. He may not take the challenges that we face, but he will help us to obey him and help us to walk on water. The story ends with them getting into the boat and the wind ceases and they worship him. They say, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Jesus allows us to go through these storms of life in order that we might know him, in order that we might see his faithfulness to us and might be able to love him more and trust him more. And so it's through these experiences that we learn to know him. Well, finally, the story totally ends when they had crossed over and come to the other side in verse 34. We put our faith and trust in Jesus. He will lead us to the goal, and that is eternal life. Without him, we'll never make it there. But with him, we will make it there because he loves us and he is with us. So Jesus came to reveal God and his love to us. But this revelation demands a response from each one of us. Do you believe that God loves you? Do you believe that? Are you willing to follow Jesus in obedience to God and to trust him, to obey him, no matter what? That is the invitation that Jesus is making to us today. God is love, and he's wanting us to trust our lives to him and to walk in obedience, and he will help us. What a precious God we have. Thank you for sharing these stories. And we just want to praise God for who he is and worship him because he loves us individually. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that our class has got up here to sing. Amen.